Turning this evening to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In the service this morning, I was struck by how many similar thoughts we heard, and I thought, wow, here we go again. I promise you there is no collusion, no discussion about what we preached. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord is wanting us as a congregation to focus more on holy living, either that or at least two Barretts have some severe holiness to pursue hard after. But I do take it of the Lord's leading. Again, this was the message that I had intended on preaching last week, but the Lord changed those plans at the last minute and brought us to this week. So I trust that we do hear His Word, that we do take holiness very seriously, that we do take sin very seriously. 1 John chapter 1, let us hear the word of the Lord. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Let us still our hearts in His presence in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You that we are able to come before You at this time because of the fellowship that we have with You and with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us in Your Word. We thank You for Your word that reveals You to us and reveals that great wonder that we are able to have fellowship with You. Lord, we pray that You would be with us this evening as we consider what true fellowship is. And we ask, Lord, that we might see You for who You are, that we might see ourselves for who we are, and that in doing so we might be all the more amazed that we have fellowship with you. And as we see these things, Lord, we ask that you would give us the grace to love holiness, and you would give us the grace to hate sin. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are few things in the Christian life that are more amazing than the fact that we can say, I have fellowship with God. Considering who God is and who we are, the fact that we can even speak in terms of fellowship with God should cause us to sit back with wonder, with amazement, that we are even able to commune with Him in peace. John Calvin, in the beginning of his Institute, said that there are really two things that we must know. We must know God, and we must know ourselves. To truly know God is to know ourselves. To truly know ourselves is to know God. And the only way that we can know God as we ought, truly, is through Jesus Christ. Calvin then goes on to talk about how God has revealed Himself in nature, but we don't see that because of sin. And so God then specially revealed Himself to us that we might know Him, that we might know Him as He has revealed Himself. And that is in the face of Jesus Christ. And that is basic and that is fundamental to our Christian faith. That there is a God, and that if we are to know Him, we can only know Him through Jesus Christ, who is the one mediator. And in knowing God through Jesus Christ, we can speak of that in terms of fellowship and communion, and that we who were once lost are now in close fellowship with Him. And who better to learn about fellowship with God than from the Apostle John? In many ways, John is the theologian of fellowship. In his gospel, we learn about the fellowship that the Father had with the Son, and that eternal and beautiful and majestic fellowship that they shared with one another. And John goes on to say that as we then come into contact with the Son and come to know the Son, we share then in that fellowship. And so in his gospel, he is going to speak much of fellowship. The fellowship of the Father with the Son and the fellowship that we have with the Father by virtue of being in the Son. And again, who better to even explain that than John, who was the Beloved. So you have the 12 disciples. And out of those 12, there was an inner circle. There were the three, Peter, James, and John. And out of the three, there was the one whom Jesus called John. That is my Beloved. So here is John, who knows really better than anybody what it truly is to have fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And you read his gospel and you see some famous passages such as John 15, where he records Christ saying, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And he goes on and speaks of this close and vital union that we have in Jesus Christ. That our life, our sustenance, is as we are in union with Christ. And in the beginning of his gospel, he speaks then of that life in Christ is there because Christ is the light. He is the light of the world. And he says, John the Baptist came to bear witness to that light. But John was not the light. He just bore witness to Jesus Christ, who is the light. And that light is the life of men. And now we come to 1 John. And the apostle says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life, that which we've seen and experienced and enjoyed is what we declare unto you, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is that you can have fellowship with God. That you can have fellowship with God and with the Son. And that is what he writes to his audience. That is what he writes to us. And he writes about the fellowship that we have with God and draws upon that truth. Why? So that our joy may be full. So that our joy in the gospel may be complete, that we might be able to come into that great experience of what we often talk about, which is fellowship with God. And is that not any different than what Jesus said again in John 15? He talks about the vine and the branches and says that if you do these things, if you obey my commands, then you're glorifying your Father in heaven. It's what we were reminded of this morning. God is glorified when we bear fruit. And he says that he's telling us these things so that our joy may be full, so that we might abide in his love as he obeys the Father's commands and then abides in his love. And so John is brilliant at talking about how Christ does this and abides in his Father's love. And if we do that, we too can abide in the Father's love. And these are all things, all truths that we talk about so often. That we have fellowship with God. That we are in his love. Remember last week we considered it. Psalm 27 as an introduction to this. And the point of that psalm as introduction to our series in 1 John is that we do more than just talk about it. That we're not merely content in talking about it. It's one thing for all of us to say in each other's presence, I really desire God. I really want to pursue him. But reality is, I never do that. And here's John here. He says, we want this to be more than just talking about fellowship with God. We want this to be our actual experience. And so what John is addressing in his epistle is the truth of fellowship with God and how you can know that you do have fellowship with God. And there are going to be various tests that he lays out that will either prove or disprove your claims of fellowship. So I want to consider the first test this evening. And that test has to do with how we view sin. There were a group of people that left the fellowship of John and his brethren, yet claimed that they had fellowship with God. You see their claims in verse 6, 8, and 10, introduced by the phrase, if we say. And then each, if we say, each claim is going to be followed in 7, 9, and then verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 of the believer's true response. Or the true believer's response to what they claim. So what I want to address this evening, in many ways, is what do you think about God? And what do you think about sin? How you view sin is going to tell an awful lot about how you view God, how you view sin, is going to expose an awful lot about your fellowship with Him, or quite possibly, lack thereof. First John is often given to new believers as a book to read for its simplicity. And it is. But First John is also incredibly profound. It is incredibly convicting. Because it takes us past what we claim. And it gets right down to where we live. Now, I'll say at the outset here that there are statements in 1 John that on the surface seem confusing. For example, in chapter 2, it says, I write unto you that you sin not. And he talks about if you sin in this way, then you need to check your status with God. But what John is talking about here is that a true believer is not happy, does not have a bent towards sin, is not content or happy to remain in sin, but a true believer who, though struggles with sin and does sin, responds a particular way to that sin. And that's what we're going to be addressing. There are three things that I want to bring before your attention tonight. The first is that propositional truth matters. The second is that verbal claims alone of fellowship do not make it true. And three, real fellowship with God expresses itself in a proper response to sin. The first thing I want to highlight then is propositional truth matters. If we are to live rightly in this world, if we are to enjoy fellowship with God, then it is incredibly important and vital that we think rightly. Just believing anything about God is not enough. We are to believe what God has revealed of Himself in His Word. That is why it is so important to John, when addressing fellowship, that he stresses the propositional truth about God that he has received from Jesus Christ about who God is. Look at verse 5. After he gives his introduction in the first four verses and talks about how he has witnessed Jesus Christ, he's handled him, he's looked upon him, he brings it down and says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, that is Christ, and declare unto you, this is the message. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Before we can even test our fellowship, before we can even talk about how to live in this life as believers, the reality that we must grasp is this. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John does not present this truth as a possibility. He does not begin this with, I heard this from Christ. He said, if God is light, then it's best that you live this way. The reality is, whether we accept it or not, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We cannot change that. And this cannot be stressed enough. It is common in our day to hear that doctrine and creeds don't matter. It doesn't matter what you believe about God. You just have to love Him. Because after all, God is love. And here's the truth. God is love. And the same writer who said God is love says God is light. And if we consider the ramifications that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, then the truth that God is love is actually all the more amazing, because why could God love us in whom is darkness? So when you take those two truths and you put them together, we cannot but be amazed that God would have fellowship with us. That God would invite us into His presence, because we're born in darkness. And He, as Joseph, in Him is no darkness at all. He can't tolerate it. He is so holy. He is so pure that sin just can't be in His presence. He can't ignore sin. But yet we hear that it doesn't matter what we think about God, just as long as we commune with Him. I mean, just stop and think of the ramifications of that statement. It's bizarre. That it doesn't matter what we know about God, just as long as we commune with Him. Look at that on a human level. Just had my ninth, well, Bridget and I just had our ninth anniversary of matrimonial bliss. And let's just say, as we're going to dinner on our anniversary, she says, "Tell me what you love about me." And I say, "Okay. I just want you, I love you. I love your black hair, and I love to look up into your face and gaze into your green eyes." She doesn't have black hair. She's not taller than me, so I'm not gazing up. And she doesn't have green eyes. They're blue. Do you see? But if I would say that to her, she'd say, "What's going on? That's not me." It is incredibly and vitally important that we think rightly about a person. If I am to know my wife, I have to know her rightly. And God is a person. God is a being. And if we are to know Him, if we are to have fellowship with Him, we had better think rightly about Him. He has not left us to think about Him according to our own desires. He's revealed Himself to us. And so if we are to have fellowship with Him, if we are to enjoy that fellowship with Him, we had better have that with the God as He has revealed Himself. And John says, the very reality that you must see for fellowship is God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. We cannot create a God after our own imaginations. If Paul could quote the pagan philosophers and poets of his day to prove a point, I think I'm okay in saying this. I believe it was Voltaire who said that God created man in His own image, and man has been trying to return the favor ever since. And is that not idolatry? I will think of God however I want to, and then that God of my own creation I will then live before, and if I want to live a certain way, I will conform Him to that. And John says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, light, as we heard this morning, is a common theme throughout Scripture. It is used in different ways. It is often in the Psalms, synonymous with even our salvation. The Lord is my light. He's my salvation. We know that Israel as a nation were to be a light. And they didn't always succeed in that, but the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was given to be a light to the nations, and He has perfectly and completely and with pure illumination shed His light upon the world. And the remarkable truth that we were brought with this morning is that in Christ we too are to be lights. So there is an illuminating factor. But in this sense here, John is talking about the ethical sense. God is light. God is pure. God is holy. He is free from all sin. In His very being, God is light. Every difficult to sometimes talk about God. I was going to say every part, but our confession says He has no parts. So, God, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, is pure and holy. And in Him is no darkness. There are elements of this that I confess are beyond comprehension. How can we, who are finite and born in darkness, comprehend this? But even our inability to comprehend God's purity and God's holiness does not change the reality that God is holy and that He is light. And John's emphasis in highlighting this truth is to show us that there are ethical ramifications. That because God is light, we have to live a certain way. We cannot live according to the flesh. We cannot make up our own standards. God is light. He is the standard. He is righteousness. He is holiness. And if we are to fellowship with Him, John says, we have got to grasp that propositional truth that God is light. And before we consider the next two truths, let me just encourage us to live in light of this reality. Martin Luther had certain aspects of his theology that governed everything. One of his guiding principles was the belief that all of life is lived before God. That every aspect of human existence is lived in the presence of God. And because of that truth, that we don't just talk about God as though He's just another subject. That we don't view God as something we either come into the sanctuary or go into the classroom or go into the discussion around the dinner table and just say, hey, here's some proofs for God's existence. God is. And we live before Him. And one commentator on Luther said, really, Luther's whole view of this idea of living before God, it really has the idea that says, while we are at God's disposal, God is never at ours. And Luther said, because God is, we should be on our knees. Because He is, we are to live accordingly. And that's the propositional truth that John has for us to see at the very beginning of the discussion of fellowship with God. But he says, secondly, and this is the second point I want us to see, that verbal claims of fellowship alone do not make it true. This is not to get those who do have fellowship with God to doubt. Because remember, John's epistle here is to know that we know Him. To be assured that we have fellowship with Him. But there is the sobering reality that a verbal claim of fellowship with God is not enough by itself to make it true. Because he's writing to a people who have left the fold, and they say, we have fellowship with God. And John highlights here three things that they claim. In verse 6, if we say we have no fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. So there are some who are saying, I have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness. And John says they lie. Others say, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There are some who seem to believe that once we come to know God, we no longer have a nature to sin. So they say, we have no sin. And John says, if you say you have no sin, you can no longer sin, you're deceiving yourself. Then very close to that, you have verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we have stopped sinning for whatever reason. We no longer commit sin. We make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And all of these sayings are in connection with a verbal claim of fellowship with God. And John says, wait a second. You may say you have fellowship with God, but the reality is you don't. So we need to see that our attitude towards sin, our thoughts regarding sin, are very important. The claim in verse 6 is startling for its relevancy and application today. How often do we hear, saved by grace? I can live how I want. We're not saved by works. Works don't matter. Let me remind you of our confession. While faith is the alone instrument of justification, justifying faith is never alone. It comes with all the saving graces. Sanctification. Glorification. So are we saved by grace apart from works? Yes. And that amazing grace leads us to a life of good works. But here's a people who says, I have fellowship with God, Doesn't matter that I live in darkness. Doesn't matter how I live, because God saved me. And John says, God is light, and Him is no darkness. So to walk in darkness, to live in darkness, to have a bent toward darkness, to be happy in darkness, to strive after darkness, regardless of whatever you claim, that lifestyle says, you're in darkness. And God doesn't fellowship in darkness, because God is light, and in Him is no darkness. So what is your view towards sin? If you want to say this claim in verse 6, it's a moral indifference. It doesn't matter how I live, I can still have fellowship with God. No, it does matter how you live. I don't know how else John could say that. It does matter. You cannot be indifferent toward morality. You cannot be indifferent toward sin. You can't be, and then also claim to be a Christian. It doesn't go together. Then you've got the others. Where sin's just not a problem. Because they don't do it. But why view sin as something, as a problem, if I'm not bothered by it because I don't do it anymore? John says, you're deceiving yourself. You think it's kind of hard for us in our context to really be guilty of that one. Well, maybe on the surface it is. But I wonder how many professing believers maybe redefine sin or put an emphasis on something else. Well, then they say, I really don't struggle with sin. We were reminded a couple weeks ago from Matthew 5, right? The message, how bad is sin? We were told, look, it's not just the external act that Christ is concerned about. He's saying here, I've never killed anyone. But am I angry? Christ says, you're guilty. Never committed adultery. Christ says, but have you lusted? Never robbed a bank. But have you coveted? You see, so if we redefine sin in such a way as those things I've never done, then I guess you could kind of say, I've not sinned. Ever since I was converted, it's not a problem for me. Because if I construct a list of what sin is and what sin isn't, and I hold to that list very, very closely, and I follow it, then I could theoretically say, I've not sinned. Look, what is holiness? Going to church? Reading my Bible? What is extra holiness? Reading Spurgeon, morning and evening? And I do that. Like, wait a second. What does John say? God is light, and in Him is no darkness. If I'm not pursuing after Him, if I'm not keeping His commands that Christ said in John 15 is essential for fellowship, as He abides in His Father, He keeps His Father's commands, so you abide in Me and you keep My commands. That's what glorifies God. So what do you think about sin? I'm not asking, what do you think about other people's sin? I'm not asking you, what do you think about a redefined list of sins or cultural taboos, even before the service? I was rebuked for not wearing a white shirt. And this is an ongoing thing in the family. And I joke and I say, is that a sin to preach? But now, I'm not throwing him under the bus here. This is by way of illustration. All right. So, because I really don't think that he's saying, all right, okay, you understand. My point is that it is easy for us to create a list of things and say, that's sin. And if we are to have fellowship with God as He has revealed Himself in His Word, we need to look at sin very honestly. Because not only has God revealed Himself in His Word, He has revealed in His Word what sin is. And it is any transgression of the law of God. The law of God is a reflection of His nature, which is light. And in Him there is no darkness. So may we not only grasp that reality that God is light and in Him is no darkness, but may we also grasp what sin is, and that we also grasp the link between fellowship with God and how we view sin. Because we can talk all day long about how much fellowship we have with God, and just that talk alone doesn't make it true. The third truth that John brings forth in this passage is real fellowship with God expresses itself in a proper response to sin. Real fellowship with God expresses itself in a proper response to sin. And this truth should answer a lot of the surface difficulties of, is John calling for sinless perfection? What exactly is he calling for? He's just calling for a right response to sin. And that right response will indicate whether or not we are in fellowship with God. Now, the right responses to sin are given in verses 7, 9, and then chapter 2, 1 and 2. Remember, you have those who say this, but we do this. Some say this, but we do this. Some say that, but this. The first right response is walking in the light. To walk in the light reveals the understanding that sin is darkness. And we want to have nothing to do with it. Right? Our response to sin is a repudiation of it. I don't want to live for that anymore. I want to pursue after light. And John says, they say this in verse 6, but in verse 7, we walk in the light as He is in the light. We walk according to how He has revealed Himself. He has revealed Himself to be light. We walk in that light. Because it's in that light that we have fellowship with God. So what is your response to sin? Do you hate it? Do you repudiate it? Do you lament it in your life? Not asking if you're sinlessly perfect. And that's not what John is saying either. He's saying, do you have a bent toward the light? Do you have a desire for the light? Do you walk in that light? Because if you do, he says, we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship with God, fellowship with the saints. And here's how we know, on one hand, he's not talking about sinless perfection, because he says, if you walk in the light, we have fellowship, and what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. As we walk in the light, we view sin as that which is heinous. We view sin as that which is an affront to God. And we are being cleansed of our sin by the blood of Jesus. Do you hate sin? And I'm not asking, are you sinlessly perfect? I'm not asking even, are you happy with how you respond to sin in every way? In every occasion? Because we're in a struggle, we're in a battle. Sometimes we fall. I'm asking you if you walk in the light. That is the first proper response to sin. The second proper response. You see, they say, if we say we have no sin, we say we confess our sin. They deny it. We own it. What do we profit if we ignore it or deny it? If we have fellowship with God, we're not denying our sin. We're actually claiming it. We say, I confess it. Here is my sin. And we sang that song right before we read this passage for a purpose. Look, the believer responds to sin with, look, I have sin upon sin upon sin. And oh Lord, it's that blood that I'm claiming. When you sin, do you confess that sin? Is your life one of repentance? It says, look, I know how bad I am. And I hate it. That's the response of one who has fellowship with God. And that is, you see, that's what makes fellowship with God so marvelous. That by acknowledging that we sin, it doesn't remove the fellowship. It says, Lord, you have fellowship with me, and I'm often so dark. Lord, I confess my sin. Lord, you know it better than I do, because you're light. You see it more than I do. But Lord, the sin I see, and even the sin I don't see, Lord, I confess it all. That is a proper response to sin. So sometimes, all right, we look at the fact that we sin, right? We say, I can't have fellowship. Look at that. I can't have fellowship with God. Whereas John says, look, if you confess your sin, if you own it and you confess it and you turn from it, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you. And that's amazing. And Lord willing, next Sunday evening, we're going to look at the assurance of pardon. Right now, we focus just on the right response. Verse 10, they say we've not sinned. John says in chapter 2, my little children, I write this unto you, that you sin not. I'm right. Don't sin. Stop it. But if any man does sin, I want you to know that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So what is the proper response of a believer to sin? To run fast and run hard to Jesus Christ, who is your advocate. How often do we know the anguish and the guilt and the shame of sin? And we think, how can I go before God and plead my cause? Who am I? John says, the pleading has been done. The intercession is happening. Because you have an advocate with the Father. You have an advocate with the one with whom you have fellowship with. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. Lord, I know I'm not righteous at all. Hey, Jesus is righteous. Lord, look at what's standing. Jesus is righteous. And let's go back to the basic truth of John's theology of fellowship. You have fellowship with God because you're in Jesus Christ. Is that a righteousness of your own? No. It's a righteousness that's better than that. It's Christ's. And so when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and to plead that, to run to that, John says that is the proper response to sin. So again, John's ethical comments are not meant to cause you doubt. Unless you're the one claiming something that you don't have. John says, I've seen Christ with my eyes. I've handled him. And that is real. And the one that I saw and handled is the one that came from his Father with whom he enjoyed eternal fellowship. And he came here that we might have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you have fellowship with God? What is your view of sin? If you know God, and you have fellowship with Him, and you're lamenting the sin in your life, confess it. Because you have an advocate with the Father. But if you're here, and all you're doing is claiming something, but yet you're living according to your own flesh, and you're happy about that? And you don't want God's standard to dictate your life? Please, for God's sake, turn to Him. And know real fellowship. And may we know tonight, there is nothing better than to say that we have fellowship with God and really have fellowship with God. I mean, let that sink in. The God who created light sent His Son to be the light that we may walk in the light. That is amazing grace that we can have fellowship with God. Let's pray. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we again stand amazed that we're able to approach you in prayer with no condemnation, but peace. Because we as a people are in fellowship with you. But give us the grace to let that sink in, that we have fellowship with God and His Son. And Lord, give us the grace to see you as you've revealed yourself in your word, and give us the grace to respond rightly to sin. Lord, we want to hate sin. We want to hate it because it is against you, not only because it has bad consequences. We want to be so gripped with the sight of your holiness, the fact that you are light and in you is no darkness, that we cannot stand and tolerate sin in our lives. And Lord, when we do sin, would we confess it? So get our eyes tonight on the cross, upon which our sins were paid. Give us a glimpse of that empty tomb, which is the proof of our life in Christ. That sin no longer holds dominion over us. Lord, may we respond rightly to sin. Lord, may we walk in the light as you are in the light. Lord, if there are anyone here in darkness, Lord, we thank you that your word also tells us that just as God commanded the light to shine, so has he commanded that light to shine in dark hearts, so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ would shine. Lord, do that saving work tonight. Do your sanctifying work tonight. And Lord, we praise you for your power, for your grace, and for your mercy. Have mercy upon us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.